Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect.
Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Welcome to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. I am Bill Snyder, and it's a pleasure to have you joining us no matter where you're listening from, whether you're listening from the plains of Wisconsin or the mountains of West Virginia. Thank you for finding us and tuning in. I want to remind you that you can visit our website, patchworkheart.org, for all the information about our growing ministry. So tune in and take a look at the website as well. Want to talk to you a little bit about the guest that I have coming on the program today. Her name is Jeannie Ewing. She is a Catholic spirituality writer that focuses on the topic of grief, redemptive suffering, and waiting. She believes that the world ignores and rejects the value of the cross and writes about the hidden value of suffering and discovering joy in the midst of grief. She is a frequent guest on radio and television and is a frequent contributor to online periodicals. She's the author of many, many books. And some of them are entitled From Grief to Grace, Waiting with Purpose for Those Who Grieve. And she's got two new ones coming out here, one that's out and one that's coming out in the next couple weeks. So, Jeannie, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for joining me today on Young Catholics Respond.
Hi, Bill. It's good to be back with you.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about two of your books today, two of your new books coming out on the program today, Parenting with the Beatitudes and A Time to Laugh, A Time to Weep. So let's talk about first Parenting with the Beatitudes. I know I struggle to live the Beatitudes in my life, and I can't be parenting with them. So what made you write the book?
Oh, my goodness. So it has been almost 3 years since I attended the Catholic Marketing Network conference in Schaumburg. That was the one and only time I've ever done it. I was a new author at the time. And so just kind of milling about in the Expo Center and having these really energized conversations with people in Catholic media and publishing, there was something that inspired me that just sparked in my heart when on my train ride home. And it was this idea for this book, Parenting with the Beatitudes. I can't really tell you a specific conversation that happened that was like the catalyst for that. But what I can say is that I believe it was the Holy Spirit who was just stirring in my heart from understanding kind of what publishers are looking for and everything. So I came home, and all I remember about it is that night, my husband and I tucked our, at the time, two girls into bed, and we were snuggling up in bed for the night too. And before I turned off the light, I'm like, hey, what do you think about writing a book with me called Parenting with the Beatitudes? And he's like, huh, sounds like a great idea. And then we turn the light off and go to sleep. And it was kind of that simple. So the next day I started to kind of do a general outline. What's interesting, Bill, is that throughout this time of growing the idea, the concept, the Beatitudes kept coming to me. So not just like you would think with going to Mass and, oh, today's the reading of the Beatitudes or something, which certainly did happen. But it was like I would pick up a devotional that I had bought maybe 3 or 4 or 10 years before. And when I'd start reading it, it was about something about the Beatitudes. I'm like, aha. So I find that when that happens, that that's almost to me like the Holy Spirit is confirming, yes, this is the direction I want you to go. So truthfully, this book, the initial seed was planted about 3 years ago, and it took that long from seed to flower, so to speak, for it to get published.
Oh, wow. That's totally awesome. I know publishing takes such a long time to get from, as you said, seed to flower, right? It really does take a long time. But you know, the Beatitudes are really awesome seeds of faith for us, right? I mean, there's just some really great lessons in there. In fact, it's like the core message of the Sermon on the Mount or the Sermon on the Plain, depending on which gospel you're reading. And so what are some of those nuggets of wisdom that you were able to pull out, or even what are some of your favorite Beatitudes that help you in your daily life and struggles?
So I think the reason I was so drawn to the Beatitudes, and I'm just going to speak generally first, and then I'll answer what you're saying, is that I'm primarily a grief writer. So when Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, blessed are they who mourn, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are they who are persecuted, I'm thinking, wow, Jesus is actually telling us, or sometimes blessed could be interpreted happy, depending upon the translation, like what you were talking about. So if you think about that, happy are they, or blessed are they who mourn, who are meek, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who are persecuted. These were some of the ones that I thought, you know, the world tells us the opposite, that we should run away from suffering, that we, when we're sad or that we're mourning or grieving, then that means we're almost like untouchable. People tend to scatter away from us when we're grieving, when we're sad, when we're struggling with some darkness. So I wanted to kind of understand what that meant in terms of me as a mom. And then I thought, you know, for my husband, because husbands and fathers, their voices are very lacking, very much lacking in terms of parenting books, or if you want to talk about like a podcast like this, it seems like it's mostly the women who are doing that work. And I think that we need to draw men into that particular area of spirituality because they are the spiritual heads of the home. So my favorite one right now, I would say my favorite beatitude right now is about meekness. The reason is that I am not a naturally meek person. And so when I was studying this beatitude, one of the books that really, really gave me a lot of insight was from Father Jacques Philippe called 8 Doors to the Kingdom. And it's Meditations on the Beatitudes. When I got to the chapter on meekness, I was just really, really humbled. And I don't mean that just because people associate meekness with humility, which they tend to think that they're synonymous. But what Father Philippe talks about is that meekness is more than just humility. It's about a receptivity to the Holy Spirit. It's an attentiveness. It's a sensitivity of the heart. So there's compassion involved with meekness. It's a vulnerability. It's the ability to reach people where they are, to be able to be honest and real with others. And so I just felt like that was so important when we're talking about parenting, because a lot of times if you look at from generations, my parents' generation, it was like, children are seen and not heard, do as I say and not as I do. And they tended to raise us, which I'm part of, I'm like on the cusp of Gen X and millennials, but they tended to raise us that way. And I feel like when my husband and I got married and we started our family, we wanted to do things just a little bit differently, a little bit better. And I think the Beatitude of Meekness is one of those that helps us both have that framework where we're getting kind of harsh because we're both the oldest in our families. So we tend to be very, very strict disciplinarians. And the beatitude of meekness helps us draw back to the Lord, to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and helps us to say, okay, Lord, how do I show mercy to my children? How do I let them know that I love them? How can I say I'm sorry? I mean, that takes a huge amount of humility as a mom or dad to say, you know what? I was wrong and I'm sorry. So I hope that answers your question. That's the beatitude that is really shaping me as a parent right now.
You know, it does. And it's something that you really bring up. I don't have kids yet. I'm getting married in August. So, I will soon venture into that. And there's a really good insight in there for parents or parents to be. When you begin talking about apologizing to your children, because you don't think of that as something that you have to do. That's a very interesting insight, you know, that you want to think about apologizing to your children and, you know, for things that you've done wrong to them. And, you know, we can injure our children. We do at times make mistakes in parenting, right? And so the Beatitudes certainly are a way to help us live that, you know, and so let's talk a little about your husband's role too, because you know, that was very interesting. You brought that up as well, that voice isn't heard as much. So how does Ben fit into that? How does he, help in the book offer his perspective?
Right. So my husband is not really a natural writer. He is a materials engineer. That's his day job, so to speak. So he likes to talk physics and metals and chemistry and differential equations and all that nerdy stuff like that. So writing this book was actually kind of challenging for him, but I think in a cathartic way, because as I was kind of editing his sections before I submitted them to the publisher, and I was reading some of his reflections and I thought, wow, these are insights I didn't even know about him. We've been married almost 12 years and he was writing a lot about how his parents raised him and in a way that was, it wasn't like blaming them for their mistakes, but it was just showcasing, hey, this is how our brokenness can transfer to our own children. And so he was talking specifically about when his grandfather had died and how his dad delivered the news. He just very coldly and plainly said, your grandpa died this morning, and walked away. And my husband, Ben, was 16 at the time. He's getting ready for school. And he was so close to his grandpa. And neither his mom nor his dad were able to comfort him. So this was, I think in the chapter, Blessed Are They Who Mourn, for they will be comforted. He was talking about how he wants to be able to do that for our children, especially since we have three girls. We have three girls and a boy. So girls are so, their relationships with dad are so, so much more, I would say, there's a deeper relationship, a closer relationship that little girls have with their dads. So he wants to be able to be attentive to that and sensitive to that. So again, we're going back to meekness, but in this chapter of mourning, he was just really displaying his heart and showing the reader, it's okay if you're a guy to cry. It's okay to talk about that, what's hard with your kids, because men don't tend to do that. So that was a chapter that really touched my heart. It was very powerful. And I think it will really speak to a lot of fathers out there too.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you. I think that that's something that is definitely lacking, and certainly you are able to highlight and bring out in writing this. So kudos to you. The book is going to be an excellent resource for so many people. And again, it's Parenting with the Beatitudes. Jeannie, these interviews fly by. I wish we had more time to unpack this stuff, but I can't believe we've hit the halfway mark already.
Yeah.
So I got to take that short break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk with you a little bit more about the next book as well, A Time to Laugh and A Time to Weep. So right back after these messages here on Young Catholics Respond, I'm Bill Snyder. Be right back.
Our Blessed Mother wants only the best for her children and has given us a special place where she promises to help all those who appeal to her motherly love and protection. Telling Saint Juan Diego that here I will alleviate the sufferings of all those who love me and seek my protection.
That holy place is now the site of the beautiful Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. If you would like to learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information. Our Lady may be calling you now.
Judy Hare was a bankrupt, homeless, drug-addicted college dropout on the brink of divorce, but is now a seminary graduate and devoted wife and mother of four children. What happened? Find out in her autobiography, Shattered, How God Restored My Heart and Life. Her journey of faith has been called brutally honest, truly inspiring, profound, heartbreaking, and life-changing. Shattered is available now for only $15 on her website, judyhare.com, on amazon.com, or at your local Catholic bookstore. As Judy says, it is never too late to become the person you deserve and desire to be. So stop wishing for change and start doing something about it by reserving your copy of Shattered today.
Saint Therese of Lisieux's Little Way of the Cross, written by Victoria Clarizo and designed by Just Love Prince, is a beautiful prayer booklet that helps you pray the Stations of the Cross. Use these reflections to meditate on the great love and mercy that Jesus had for us as he journeyed to Calvary. The Little Way of the Cross includes gems from Scripture, the writings of Saint Therese, and the words of Jesus from the imagination and prayer of the author. Go to justloveprince.com to get your copy today.
This is Martha Fernandez-Sardina with your Love Minute, brought to you by RememberYouAreLoved.com. There are several obstacles to love that I want you to be aware of. If you do not have a good relationship with God, it is likely that you will not receive the love of God the way that He intends to give it to you. If you have a limited knowledge of God and you do not know Him as a merciful, compassionate, close, personal God who wishes to accompany you on earth and have you with Him for all eternity, or if you conceive of God as harsh, judgmental, rigid, you are surely not going to receive the love, the tender, merciful love of God. Or if you have a wrong image of yourself, if you do not see what God sees when He looks at you, you will not receive the love of God. You will not see that He smiles upon you and sees that you are very good. And thirdly, if you are busy, it is unlikely that you will receive the fullness of God's love. So slow down, get to know yourself, get to know God. For more on love, find us at facebook.com/rememberyouareloved. And remember, you are loved.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder. This is Young Catholics Respond. I am blessed to be joined today by Jeannie Ewing. She is a Catholic author and speaker, and just awesome to have her on the program today, talking with her about her two latest books. We spent the first half talking with her about parenting with the Beatitudes, and now we're going to spend some time talking about her upcoming book that is released on Pentecost. It's called A Time to Laugh and a Time to Weep. So, Jeannie, tell us a little bit about this book and how it came to be.
So I have written for a website called CoraEvans.com for probably as long as I've been writing publicly. So it's been about 5 years. I started as a blogger, and the publisher. So Cora Evans. Let me just give you a brief backstory here. Cora Evans is up for canonization. Her cause has been opened. So she is a servant of God, and she was a convert to the Catholicism from Mormonism, and she lived in the first half of the 20th century. She was a mystical writer. So per the direction of her spiritual director, she started writing down some of the visions and images and some of the dreams and things like that, that she had experienced, these spiritual dreams and visions. And so there are a couple of different books that this particular nonprofit called The Mystical Humanity for Christ, they are the ones that are kind of spearheading, or they're the ones who are behind her, the cause of her canonization. And they've already published two of her books. One is I forget what it's called. It's her letters. It's like a collection of her letters. And another one is called Refugee from Heaven. So the publisher of this particular nonprofit, I suppose you could say he saw some of the things I wrote on the blog, and he felt that my writings were a good fit for a bigger project, so to speak. So he complimented me on some meditations I had written a couple of years ago during Lent. These were on the Stations of the Cross. And somebody from marketing contact me and say, would you write a book? And I asked them what the vision for this book was, and they wanted me to read Cora Evans' book, Refugee from Heaven. It's a very thick book. And then the way they wanted me to structure the book was to take passages that struck me. So between 20 and 25 passages. So it could be a sentence, it could be a short paragraph, and they wanted me to come up with themes that could be chapters. And then from those passages, I was to reflect on what inspired me or what kind of emerged or resonated from my own life. So it's interesting because most of the themes that emerged in these reflective essays were about my own motherhood. Which is kind of piggybacks on the segment we just finished. You know, I was talking about parenting with the Beatitudes, but I was thinking more about like the things I've messed up doing as a mom and kind of musing about that in these reflections, because Cora Evans writes about the life of Jesus, his public ministry, what it might have been like, what his relationships might have been like, conversations he might have had with St. Peter. And so as I'm reading this and I'm really visualizing it, it's very vivid. I'm putting myself there too. I'm putting myself in that place. And so as I'm thinking what it would have been like to have walked with Jesus and to have these conversations, it just really kind of opened my heart to see myself a little bit more honestly and to admit, I guess you could say, to a public audience, you know, this is what it looks like. It's messy. It's hard. Being a mom is not easy. It's not that image you see of 1950s mom who has a vacuum in her hand when she's wearing pearls and high heels. It's not like that at all. It's really hard. There are a lot of tears. There are a lot of fights. There are a lot of yelling and anger and heartbreak and sometimes the silent treatment. And you have to learn in the midst of all of that. Like I said earlier in your earlier segment, how do you ask for forgiveness? But also how do you turn that into a teaching moment as a family? How can we sit down and talk about it so that our children can grow up and say, okay, mom and dad didn't always get along, but they always made up. And that's what I can then learn from in my own relationships with my friends. And if I get married with my future spouse, to learn that conflict is normal and how do I resolve it in a healthy way so that I can become closer to that person so that we can have a more honest and open and respectful dialogue instead of bringing our baggage from the way we were raised, like slamming doors or silent treatment or whatever. How can we start changing that dynamic? And so I think that maybe most families and most moms can relate to that because all of us bring baggage into our marriages and into our families. And so the key is to recognize when those moments that are not as healthy, that are kind of dysfunctional, kind of emerge in our relationships, and then to stop ourselves and say, okay, this isn't really the right way we want to do this. Let's do it better. And to talk about it. So I kind of did that in these reflective essays, which I titled A Time to Laugh and a Time to Weep, because the verse from Ecclesiastes kept coming to me over and over as I was writing this book. To everything there is a season. And I just kept thinking about how there are moments in our lives that are joyful and moments in our lives that are really hard. And there are the celebrations and there are the milestones. And then there are the funerals and there are the breakups and all of those things kind of meld together so that we don't really experience joy apart from sorrow or vice versa. But often we can experience those simultaneously. And I wanted to kind of indicate to the reader that that was what I was trying to do with these essays.
You know, that's so beautiful. That is so, so beautiful. And, you know, it also is a coming out around Pentecost too, right? This is your Pentecost release.
Yes.
And so it comes to my mind, just listening to you talk about all of this, is that the birthday of the church is Pentecost, this new life that springs forth for all of us, this grace, this baptism that finally gets awakened and lived. And this is almost the perfect book to live your baptismal call, right? Because it's all about the baptismal call.
I really hadn't thought of it like that before, Bill, but that's a very amazing insight, truthfully. You're right. You're absolutely right. My friend Anna Nuzzo and I, so I know that your audience knows who Anna is because she's been on your show. She and I were just talking this week about that we feel like this is a springtime, not just of the church. I think, you know, we've heard that term before, springtime of the church, the new evangelization. But we feel like this is a springtime for some of us specifically. So she feels that way in her life. I feel that way in mine. There's this phrase, something new, that just keeps coming up. And I'm thinking about that verse from Isaiah that we often hear proclaimed during Advent. And Isaiah is talking about, in the desert I make a wasteland. Remember not the things of the past, the things of long ago consider not. Do you not see that I'm doing something new? Do you not perceive that I'm doing something new? So it's almost as if the Father is talking to us. And it relates back to what I'm talking about with this book, because if we're talking about a new birth, a new Pentecost, well, this is something we can live not just every literal Pentecost during the liturgical year, but it's something that we can allow God to do as he continues to really dig and weed out those things in our hearts that are those roots that are entangled in sin and vice and the dysfunction of our past, and to make that something new, to create that new masterpiece. And really, we're all works in progress until the day we, you know, expire from earth.
Right.
It's like we have to remember that when God is doing something new and we allow him, we have to allow him to take all of our failures and our sins and our past and all the mess that it is, even if the past was yesterday, we have to allow God to take those things. And then we have to be able to move forward with him instead of continuing to carry the regret and the guilt and the shame with us into this something new. That's not what he's calling us to do. He's saying, no, I want you to step out of this past and realize that I am making something beautiful from your brokenness.
Yeah, it's so true. It's the Easter message. It's the Pentecost message in a nutshell. And it's just an awesome, amazing thing to talk to you today. And I really encourage our listeners to visit your website, jeannieewing.com, and also purchase your books. You just want to give us a little bit of a synopsis of where they can find them and how they can get them and best support their local Catholic bookstore and everything?
Some of my books are probably in bookstores. Some of them, all of them actually, are on Amazon. You can get them all there. You can get them all from me directly from my website, which is jeannieewing.com/store. And if you do choose to buy them from my store, it's a secure site and I can sign them for you. So if there's like a particular person you have in mind that you want to give it to as a gift, I'm happy to do that.
Awesome. Jeannie, thank you so much for being here with me. We'll have to have you back on as you continue to publish and write more amazing work. Thank you so much, so much, so much for being here.
Thanks, Bill. It was great to be with you.
All right. Well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Art Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating too. Your Catholic heart.
You've been listening to Young Catholics Respond, a radio initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry. To learn more about our ministry and program, visit us at patchworkheart.org. Or to get exclusive access and early ministry updates, become our patron on Patreon by searching for Patchwork Heart Ministry. Patchwork Heart Ministry is committed to sowing hope into broken hearts by helping young people encounter the love of Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church through prayer, storytelling, and media initiatives. We invite you to prayerfully consider supporting this mission financially. Mail your tax-deductible donation to Patchwork Heart Ministry at P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, zip code 53147. Or visit patchworkheart.org to donate online. That's Patchwork Heart Ministry, P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, 53147, or online at patchworkheart.org.
Faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard?
Do you seek to make Scripture a greater part of your daily faith journey? Would you like it readily available on your smartphone or tablet?
The Truth and Life Bible app delivers to your mobile device the complete Catholic edition of the Revised Standard Version of the Bible with a concordance entirely free. You will also enjoy free content from Father Robert Barron's Word on Fire, Father Jim McElhone's Word Made Clear, Jeff Caven's The Great Bible Adventure, and the Catholic News Agency. In addition, you can hear the Gospel of Mark dramatically proclaimed by world-renowned actors and actresses like Blair Underwood, Neil McDonough, Kristen Bell, and many more. The full audio dramatization of the New Testament, along with the Ignatius Study Bible, can be purchased within the app. It is available on the App Store, Google Play, Amazon Kindle, and at downloadjesus.com.
Hi, everybody. Bill Snyder here. Just want to thank you for listening to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And as a founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, we have so much more going on than just our podcasts. Check it out at patchworkheart.org.
The words spoken by Our Lady of Guadalupe to Juan Diego nearly 500 years ago are almost too good to be true. Asking that a temple be built at the site of her apparition, she promised that here I will give all my love, my compassion, my help, and my protection to all those who love me, cry to me, seek me, and who have confidence in me. Here I will listen to their weepings and alleviate all their sufferings, necessities, and misfortunes. My name is Alan Napleton, and I live in Dallas, Texas. I have visited her shrine in Mexico City dozens of times, bringing my own petitions, and have found Our Lady to be true to her word. Over the years, I have brought hundreds of pilgrims to this holy place without incidents, and have now founded Viva Guadalupe, a nonprofit that provides safe and inexpensive pilgrimages to Our Lady's shrine. If you would like to take our Blessed Mother up on her promise and learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.